Welcome to the Underwater Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the world of underwater portrait photography, cinematography, and everything in between. With me, your host, Brett Stanley. Welcome back to the Underwater Podcast, and this week we're honouring Breast Cancer Awareness Month with underwater photographer Irena Shimoda. Irena works with cancer and trauma survivors to give them an experience like no other, and a way to help them heal emotionally through the therapeutic immersion. Irena raised money to fund her work, donating almost half of it to charity and the rest to photograph 13 cancer survivors. We talk about her approach to this work and how her own trauma helps to guide others through this process. Okay, let's dive in. Irena, welcome to the Underwater Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited and nervous at the same time, but I'm looking forward to just share my story.
Yeah, it's such an interesting story too. I mean, you can kind of flesh this out, but you work with trauma survivors as well as, you know, people involving breast cancer and other forms of trauma. Mm-hmm. Underwater with your photography. Talk us through that, how that works.
So I started working with survivors back in 2013. And before that, I was, I'm a scuba diver. So I was taking pictures of fish and marine life. And that was from 2003. And then since I stopped traveling for a big amount of time, because I have to work, I started taking pictures of people instead of fish. And from there, I realized that my clients are gaining their confidence and they're really happy for, what they see underwater and that their beauty, right? So during that, I was also volunteering for American Cancer Society's Look Good, Feel Better. It is the program for cancer survivors to feel good and beautiful about themselves by learning how to put makeup on during their chemo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And also how to put the wigs on because they lose their hair.
Oh, right. So it's a system where they're like volunteers that kind of help them to go to the next stage of their recovery, mm-hmm. by looking and feeling better in themselves.
Right. So in that group, I'm there as a general volunteer. I just help them, put the makeup, put the makeup kit and on the table, and when they need help, because they're really weak, because they're still on chemo. So I just help them out, whatever they need. And after the session, I can see their face has changed, compared to the first time when they come in 2 hours before. They're really nervous or really tired from the medications. But after the class, after they gain their knowledge on how to put their makeup on to feel beautiful again, they're all getting out of the class smiling. Right. So when I compare that with my own clients, they also go through the same thing. So 2013, I decided to launch a campaign called Underwater Healer About Face to help cancer survivors rediscover their beauty through underwater portrait photography.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I went through that using Indiegogo.com. It's like a crowdfunding website. It was hard. I didn't realize what I was going, putting myself into, because I'd never done this before. Have you done the crowdfunding before?
No, I haven't. And to be honest, it looks really intense and kind of a little scary, because you're putting yourself out there, right? Like you've really got to kind of campaign for yourself.
Right. And I was basically organizing everything. So it was a lot of work, but I committed myself to do this for the next 30 days to get donations that I'm going to help. I want to help the 13 survivors that I have on my list, and to go to get to them to do the underwater portrait session, I need this kind of money. So that was the starting point of this journey with the project with survivors.
And so how did the Indiegogo go? Was it a success?
Yeah, it was. It was so hard. So my goal was 15K. At first, I didn't know how much I needed to to ask for, because it depends on the locations I'm going, the pool rental fees. And so I just put 15K, and within 30 days, I was just asking all over. And I finally got to 10K.
Oh, great.
So it was great. It's just that if I don't reach that goal, Indiegogo takes, you know, it's like a little penalty. So they take a little bit more percentage.
Oh, that's their fee for using the service.
Yeah, I could choose if I want to take the money or not. But I still decided to take the money I received so that I can reach out to, you know, whoever. I mean, the 13 people. I'm really good at budgeting money.
Yeah.
So I got to reach out to all of them.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So that 10 grand actually gave you a good enough start to be able to reach out to all of them and to do the project?
Right. So it went down to like 7 or 8K because the tax and also the penalty. So with that, $7,000 or $8,000, I got to reach out to 13 and also maybe more, because some of the pool owners are generous. So they gave me free rental fees. Yeah. Or sometimes they let me stay at their apartment, so I don't have to pay for the hotel or I guess Airbnb at that time too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So were you traveling a lot to do this project? Was it far afield? Because you're in San Francisco, right?
Yes. So I got to go to LA, Boston, and Hawaii. But,
oh, wow. Yeah.
But actually, you know, like I was all also combining with my vacation time. So I was, you know, donating my own money too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were doing these shoots while you were on a trip somewhere else at the same time.
Right. Because I love to travel too. So I'm a traveler and I like to travel, and then I get to meet people at the same time. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same way. If you can travel and do your passion at the same time, then why not?
Yeah, why not?
So. And so how did you end up having a list of 13 people to work with? Where did they come from? Were they people that had sought you out at some point, or you had just met through your own work?
So the first 13 survivors are from, like, maybe I got to know a few people from the Bay Area, and from them they know some other people, so just like word of the mouth. And then also I posted probably on my Facebook or Twitter. Then I got some response, and because this is like the first, just 13, almost, okay, it's 2013, so it's 7 years ago. Nobody had done, I think maybe still now too, but nobody had done anything like this.
Okay.
So people were suspicious about me, that if I'm going to exploit their you know, personality or identity, and which I'm not trying to do that. I was trying to, you know, work with them with this project.
Yeah, and help them. Yeah.
Right, help them. So I had a hard time to get trust first because I didn't have any portfolio of survivors back then. Yeah.
And but so now, because you didn't have the experience, they were like, oh, I don't know, like, are you just using us to make images, or are you actually trying to help us as a community?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So it was, by building up the portfolio, people started to trust me more. And like I get more calls or emails that they're interested in participating for this project.
Right.
Yeah.
So now you get a lot of, is it more word of mouth that you're getting people for the project?
Yes, I think so. From the cancer survivors, friends of friends, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're seeing their images and wanting to do that themselves.
Right, especially on the Instagram, or if they tag my name or something like that. So I'm really grateful for social media is kind of crazy now these days, but I'm grateful that they can find my name.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. To do the project as an initial thought, what, taking cancer survivors underwater and photographing them, was there like a therapeutic kind of side to them just being in the water on its own, or is it just about the photography?
Right. For me, for for cancer survivors, they wanted to face their fears and try something new. You know, it is like the underwater portrait photography. You cannot really practice at home.
Yeah.
And it's something that it's really special for them, that they have, you know, they have been losing all their courage and their interests, or they feel isolated and they are feeling lonely. So by doing this thing, the new project, they are gaining their confidence, and it's like opening their new doors to move on to their new life.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So they are scared to be in the water and excited at the same time.
That's great. How did they find it? What was their kind of response to the session? Was there an initial period of them kind of freaking out and then slowly getting used to it, or did they kind of take to it quite quickly?
Right. So most of them are new to underwater modeling, and my clients are all like that too. So I'm getting used to work with people who are new to water. You know, by looking at the pictures, they think that it's really easy.
Yeah.
Because the picture looks like, oh, so beautiful. And then they have this imagination of what they want to do underwater. And so I ask them what they want to do. And sometimes it sounds like it's going to take 30 minutes to be in the water. So they create like, I want to do this and that. So but realistically, sometimes the first dip will be like 2 seconds. And so I just let them know so that they don't freak out. They don't surprise themselves too much.
Yeah.
And then they get, I don't want them to get upset. So
because their expectations are different to the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurts, you know, it breaks my heart when they're like, you know, when they're going through the struggle, you know, the hard time. But I tell them everybody is going through the same thing. It's not only them. So, you know, first 5-10 minutes is like a practice. So,
yeah.
So I let them to, everybody's body is different, and I have to kind of calm themselves by doing like a breathing, you know, breathing exercise. Because when you're too nervous and scared, you're breathing too fast. So that is the opposite effect. So I tell them to just move their arms like slowly, just get used to the water and breathe in and out, like, you know, count of five. So we do this together so that they'll, you know, they'll feel more, they don't feel like they're alone. They feel a little bit more comfortable after like 5 minutes.
Right.
I know that you go through the same thing, but you work with models a lot. So I'm sure that you understand what I'm talking about.
No, I do. And to be honest, the 90% of the people I work with are not models. I work with regular people, so I know exactly what you're talking about, where you've got this. You've got at least, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of the session is just getting someone to a nice, comfortable place where they are accepting of the water, where they're not fighting it, you know, where their fear starts to drop away.
Right.
And I don't work with, or I haven't really worked with, you know, trauma survivors. So I don't have a lot of that experience, you know, with that extra added, I guess, kind of layer of fear.
Right.
So that must make things a little harder for you, where you've got someone who has gone through some recent trauma and also is trying to get underwater at the same time.
Right. Like so many things are happening in their mind, but by accepting this project, they're already kind of ready to let go.
Right. They're in the right space.
Right. And then they have to feel, they just need to feel that they're safe underwater, emotionally and physically. So I start from, you know, the shallow end first to just let them know that this is okay and I'll be there for them.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And do you, is it just you and the client? Do you have other people there as well to kind of support them?
Yeah. Sometimes they come in by themselves because they want to be alone. They want to have their me time, because I want them to experience. Yeah. They want to experience this, you know, by themselves. It's like, especially if they have family and kids, they haven't been alone for a long time.
Yeah.
So underwater, it's their like a beautiful escape. Yeah, and then sometimes they bring their friends or family, which is great for me too, because I ask them to be involved in this photo shoot so that it's like a teamwork and a family work.
Right.
They can also take, you know, BTS shots for themselves and then for me too. that's a great support.
Yeah, yeah, get everyone involved.
Yeah, totally.
And so are you working primarily with people who have recovered from cancer, or I guess they're in remission, or are you dealing with people who are going through chemo at the same time?
Yeah, all of them. So as long as they have the okay signs from the doctor, I'll work with them even though they're on chemo, if they're still fighting. Yeah, but right now, because of COVID, I want to be careful, and I want them to be. Yeah, I'm sure they're also aware of it too. So I'm being working only with survivors now.
Just to limit any of the exposure and to limit any risk in terms of affecting their health.
Right. But yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm open to anybody who wants to challenge this session, because I know that it is going to change their lives.
And that's the thing. I think you've got a similar story of the water changing your life due to trauma. I watched a Google talk that you gave, and you were talking about your trauma as a young child and how the water was kind of your kind of like a safe place for you to go. Talk us through that. Tell us what your trauma was like.
Yeah. Oh, first of all, thank you for watching the Google talk. It means a lot to me. So,
oh, it was great. Yeah, no, it was great to get a better understanding of what your story was like. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So when I was, when I was 22, I got into a car accident. So I'm originally from Japan.
Yeah.
And my family and I moved to US when I was 14. And then when I was 22, we got into a major car accident in San Jose. We were coming back from this family road trip from Arizona. We were only like 30 minutes away from my home. Just the one tire blew up. So
right.
I think the car just started rolling. But I was sleeping in the back of the van, so I don't remember almost any of it. When I woke up,
Would you rather not talk about this?
Oh, I don't know why I started to get really emotional, but
we can change the subject if you'd like.
Oh no, I think it's really important that I'm talking about it. About this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I got into a car accident, and then I lost my father, and I also lost my life. I was thrown out the car and sent to ICU by helicopter, and I fractured my entire body. So it was really a miracle that I survived from this accident.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I lost my father from it. But my family and friends told me that, my father protected me, and I'm a survivor for a reason. So to make my father proud, I wanted to do something. Maybe I wanted to follow his path, which is to help people. He was donating money through, it's like a donation, the organization called Children International. He's been doing that since I was little. And then, when I was walking on the street, these kids were asking for donations for that same company. So same organization. So I decided to sign up and helping out, follow his path. And also I wanted to do more and to help other people. That's why I started volunteering for American Cancer Society. Then starting more people using my underwater skills. But going through that, I was still having some issues, which is depression. I never got this depression in the past. And I didn't even know what it was, because I just could not get out of my room.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to see anyone. It was also affecting my job at that time. And I was seeking for help, and which is, I'm glad that I, made myself to call the doctor and find it. And I went through, the psychotherapist and psychiatrist and psychiatrist and therapist and everyone. They just couldn't figure out what it was, but they gave me the antidepressant.
Right.
And I was on the medication for over a year, but nothing was working for me. And I was feeling even worse. So then I realized that, when I discovered scuba diving, it just made me feel so light and lifted.
Yeah.
And since I cannot scuba dive in San Francisco, I started swimming every day. And when I was swimming, I just felt so good to start a day, like in the morning.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Were you swimming laps or was it just a recreational swim?
Like a laps. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of cold to swim in the ocean. I know some people do it, but our ocean here, it's pretty dark and maybe like 50s.
Yeah, exactly. It's not overly inviting there.
Yeah. And I had to wear wetsuits there. So to be free, I wanted to just swim in the warm, like a heated pool at the gym. So it's also therapeutic to be in the warm water. So I was swimming every day. And then I realized that it was kind of a good way to be honest about myself. I feel that water makes me honest and water makes everybody honest. You can't really lie underwater. And then one day I realized that why was I having depressions? Because the medication was not working at all, but all of a sudden, you know, the swimming started to work. So I dropped all my medications because of that. And then just rely on all the water and swimming every single day, just swim. And now I'm off on medications for years now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I found it. And I also found out that because it made me honest, the reason for having the depression was that I was just hiding my story in my mind and I didn't let anybody else to know that. Because the reason my father passed, I was blaming on myself. And also I was having the survival guilt.
Survivor
guilt on that because, you know, I thought I killed him because I could save him. And so, yeah, I think for realizing that's what it was and I could help him by driving instead of, you know, letting him drive the car, I could maybe survive and he could be, you know, we could be all happy. But that was like in me. I still have it inside of me, but I just have to keep swimming or be in the water when that happens, when it triggers in my brain, I have to just go to the water. So.
Yeah. And I think there's something very therapeutic about the water on our skin. You know, we have this response once our face is under the water. And once we're wet, our brain, I think, changes to accommodate that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think, as you say, it makes you honest because it's you and the water. There is no way to kind of fool it, I guess. And I think that kind of therapy of it's all very real and very raw. And by swimming the laps, you know, you're using your energy and you're using your power to kind of move through this amazing substance that, you know, that it has a therapeutic quality just inherently.
Yeah, it's also challenging too if you are swimming in the water, just like you're like if you do the freestyle, you're just like going forward and it just makes me feel move forward with my life too.
Yeah.
Like swimming forward.
Yeah. The sensation of being pushed through that water is I think is very freeing.
Yeah. And also the pressure when you go underwater and it just makes me feel like the blanket, I have this like a underwater blanket on me.
Yeah,
it makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah,
because I usually sleep on my bed I have like five different layers of blanket on me. So it's heavy. It's like a, what do you call it? It's like a heavy blanket.
Oh, like a weighted blanket.
Yeah, I do have that on me. So it's like that in the water too.
Yeah, I like to think that the water is hugging you.
That
it is, you know, providing a safe place for you. That's beautiful that has helped your own depression. Mm-hmm. Just by swimming through the water and using your energy in the water in that way has helped you through your therapy, but also has kept you creative as well.
Yeah, and it made my brain clear too. And I think this is the healthier way to, it's like alternative medicine for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to believe that all the, you know, medicine is going to work for everybody's body. And definitely it was not for me. So, yeah.
That's perfect. So I think in your Google talk as well, I think you talk about total immersion therapy. I don't know a lot about that, but I think what we've been talking about is part of that is using the water as as a way of pushing through trauma, because you work with not just cancer survivors, you work with other trauma survivors as well, right? Like PTSD and other things like that.
Right. So I also work with people who've been through, you know, like sexual abuse, domestic violence, and also from the car accident, they lose their part of their body, and also veterans who've been through all the trauma through their their services. So some of them are familiar with scuba diving, and so when they use that scuba diving as a recreational therapy, because when they go underwater, their chronic pain, PTSD, and phantom pain goes away.
Right.
So yeah, so in the water, also that I've worked with a couple of people who is amputated, they don't feel the pain.
Oh wow.
Of the phantom pain, yes. Phantom limb pain, yes.
So the water makes them feel whole again?
Yeah, they don't feel, I guess I never had that kind of pain before because I never lost anything, but they feel just like a pinched, like they feel like the needle is pinching their skin or the nerve.
Yeah.
So when they go in the water, I guess maybe the pressure of the water makes the pain go away.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I see that in themselves, and also they feel free underwater, and they realize that nobody is judging them when they go underwater. Yeah, because they're the only one and it's their space and they feel safe. I think safe and trust is really important when we do the underwater photography.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I usually build the relationship before the photo shoot.
And how do you do that?
So if we can meet in person, that is, you know, perfect. But now these days we do FaceTime.
Yeah,
FaceTime, and I'm always available, just like anytime they have questions or concerns, so they can reach out to me, so that we, you know, the FaceTime works really well because it helps me to see who they are, what they look like. I usually read their body language. Yeah, because a body language, I'm used to read that. When I came to U.S., I was 14. I couldn't speak English at all.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I couldn't speak anything. So I didn't know what they were saying, but I had to guess everything from their facial expression and body language.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's from that. I think I got used to kind of getting good at what they are talking about or what they are feeling at that time.
Yeah, just through their body language. And
yeah, because underwater we can't talk, but then I can see their facial expression or body language, if they're experiencing the difficulties, if they want to try something too much, or if they're really shy. You know, sometimes people, when they're outside a pool, they're not shy, but they in the water, you know, you know, it makes you honest, right? So
yeah.
I can see that they're actually a shy person.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So their personality changes once they hit the water.
Yeah. The truth comes out.
Right. So they might be putting a brave face on the side of the pool. And then when they get in the water, it kind of washes that away.
Right. And then I'm okay with, I love to see the change, the transformation, because I want to see their truth. I'm not really looking for any fake, you know, poses or fake of themselves. I'm more into just looking at who they really are.
Right.
So that is the transformation that they are going through, and they are just letting go of their past or letting go of whatever they have on their shoulder. So when they come out from the water, the shoulders are light. You know, they are lifted and they're relaxed and happy.
That's definitely something that I find in my work as well, is that there is a transformation from that, you know, that first time going under the water where there's probably some fear and some apprehension to when they come out after like a successful shoot and they're just so energized from that experience. It's not even about the photo so much. It's about the experience that they've had kind of meeting themselves underwater and accepting it.
Yeah, accepting and let go, and like because I want them to think that this is their project, even though they ask me to direct them.
Yeah.
I usually don't, because I tell them, hey, you know, I'll be there to help you, but everybody's body is different, especially underwater. Like, so I just see what they can do, what they're comfortable with, and then I help them out from there.
Yeah, yeah. So you're like a guide rather than a director.
Right, right.
And that's beautiful that you're taking them through this process that is helping them to, you know, push through whatever it is that life has thrown at them.
Yeah.
And giving them a beautiful image of that experience.
Yeah, it's also helping them too, going through my own by helping others. So when I see their smiles, you know, when I show them the preview images from my camera, you know, I see them smiling. I'm like, yes, it's my goal. It was my goal to make them smile. So I'm like, I'll be really happy. Or yeah. Sometimes they're usually hard on themselves. So I tell them, you know, to encourage them to be free more and relax. I don't want them to feel too stressed out. So
take the pressure off them and create a beautiful space for them to relax in.
Yeah.
And so with these kind of therapies and stuff, is there anyone who hasn't been able to successfully complete the photo shoot?
I know it's a heartbreaking part. I want to say everybody went through everybody had a good experience, I hope. Yeah. But I know that one person that I still think of her, she was a breast cancer survivor. It's one of my first 13 survivors from the campaign.
Right.
She was the only person who didn't want to do FaceTime. And I was a bit worried about it. But I just had to meet her for the first time at the pool.
Yeah.
I think she was hard on herself and then maybe I tried too much. So I think that is why doing the FaceTime is really important. And also I want them to listen that, you know, what I suggest or, yeah. So I was sad when she was not really happy. I'm like, oh no.
So. And that is hard though, because I mean, you're dealing with so many different personalities and so many different life stories that it's hard to always be successful to make a connection with someone or, you know, like if someone has a certain personality, it's hard to know every time which techniques are going to get you to the right spot.
Right. It's hard. It's like every time, you know, it's a big challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I find as well, is that it's every client is different and every client is a new kind of puzzle to work out. Some of them are very easy and you can use the same techniques every time, whereas others require a different way of thinking.
Right.
And personally, I love that challenge of trying to work out how to get someone to that comfortable place.
Right. I love it too.
I think that from my experience, the best photographers are the ones who have a lot of empathy because they can put themselves in the shoes of their clients. You know, they can kind of change their approach to stuff because they can in a way feel what they're feeling. Whereas if someone doesn't have a lot of empathy, it's hard to change your approach.
Right. You have to kind of know what other people are going through. And I think definitely I'm glad that I have experience in the past, and also me, you know, coming to US, I was really alone for not speaking English.
Yeah.
So I understand what others are going through, if they're going through a similar situation, if they're alone or if they're struggling with something, I can, you know, I'll be there to help them because I needed help when I was a kid.
So you can draw on those experiences to guide them through these situations.
Yeah, I understand their feelings.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
What's next for you? Have you got projects coming up that you're excited about?
Oh, so this year is pretty interesting year. So
yeah, to say the least.
Right. Always in the Bay Area, it's hard to find a pool. And right now I was using this pool in Pacifica, and they're having a hard time with the COVID. Now I found this app called Swimply. Have you heard of it?
Oh, it's like the Airbnb for swimming pools.
Yeah. So I started to use that, and because they were available during this COVID, and which is good for me because I can go anytime when I get the day off. So I'm going to try to do that until the summer ends. and then see if we're available to travel again this year or maybe early next year. I would love to, you know, go to different places and meet other survivors.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. And so how can people find you if they are going through some sort of therapy or some sort of trauma and would love to work with you?
Yeah,
how can they find you?
They can, you know, they can email me or they can look up my name on the website.
Yep. So if they just Google Irina Shimoda?
Yeah, Irina Shimoda. And also go website underwaterhealer.com. You can also type underwater transformation and it will come up.
That's perfect. Yeah. Irina, thank you so much. This has been really interesting. It's a side of things that I'd never really experienced before. So thank you for sharing that with everyone.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, just I feel really happy to talk to you finally. So
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, okay. Irina.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And as always, if you like the podcast, please subscribe, review, and share. If you'd like to help with the production of these episodes, you can donate at theunderwaterpodcast.com. Any amount is welcome and really helps to keep the show going. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our guests, you can reach us at theunderwaterpodcast.com or on Instagram. We also have a Facebook group where you can discuss the episodes and even get your questions answered by our guests. There's a link to it in the show notes. You can learn more about my underwater photography workshops and mentoring at brettstanley.com or Brett S. Photo on Instagram. The Underwater Podcast is presented and produced by me, Brett Stanley, and our music is Neo by Oh Boy. Keep creating, everyone. I'll see you in the water.